Morning.
Good morning.
My pages keep turning on me, though. Good to see y'all this morning. This is a good day to be together, as always, for the day the Lord has made.
Rejoice and be glad in it.
Absolutely. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I am a poor, miserable sinner. Confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, our sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Prayer, O Lord.
devout prayers of your church, especially in times of persecution, and grant that what we ask in faith we may obtain. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Morning, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Genesis chapter 50, beginning with verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Save Joseph. Please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Ghost. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him his debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord. Confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Forgiveness. How are you doing with that? Forgiving others as God has forgiven you. It's one of the hardest things for many. And I suppose really it's a matter of how you see your own salvation. And I mean it this way. Is your salvation seen as that which you have earned? Did you come by it, let's say, honestly? Did you do such a good job at honoring other people or loving other people as God has loved you that He looked upon you and said, your sins are forgiven? Or for that matter, have you loved God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? That God said to you, well done, good and loving servant. Your sins are forgiven. Because I suppose if your salvation is dependent on that, in your mind or in your heart, in some strange way you've come to that and you're still coming to a Lutheran church, I could see someone not forgiving somebody. I could see that. Because some people do things that just anger us so badly that we must get retribution. It's human nature to get even. It's human nature to want to get back. But what does Jesus say about those who would harm us, whether they be nations or individuals? Pray for them. Do good for them. In fact, love them is what Jesus says we are to do. Now, on the one hand, one might say, retribution, because he says, you heap coals upon their head. Then you again fail to see the hand of God and his love and mercy for all people. Even those that hate you, even those that revile you and say wicked things about you. God would have that person be forgiven. For you say, see, they live in those shoes that to them they believe that either there's nothing else beyond this life and therefore we must make this life somehow a utopia. Or at least what I think it ought to be like. Or you may live a life that says, I'll just get along with everyone because you only have one life to live and then it's over. So eat, drink, and be merry. Don't make a fuss. Don't get in fights. But if somebody messes with me or mine, watch out. That's our nature. That's how we truly are. So forgiveness, how are you doing with that for other people? Are you forgiving them for wrongs that you have experienced? Even beyond what someone else you feel owes you, for what they have done in your past, What have you perhaps done that has caused offense? That has caused someone to feel ill towards you or wish you harm? Maybe nothing at all. Maybe it's just because you were born in this country or that country. Maybe it's because they don't like how you look. They don't like the sound of your voice. They don't like the way you laugh. It sounds creepy. We can find all kinds of ways to judge other people and decide whether or not we like them. And none of it is necessarily based on knowing that individual at all. Not knowing where they've been, what struggles they have had. No knowledge at all of their own suffering and longings and hurt, or knowing how it is that they are able to love the way they love when it seems like there is nothing that is lovable about them, and yet they can love others. They can love their family. They can love their kids. That's kind of the easy thing, or at least it should be. After all, that's your blood. Don't you got to love those who are of your blood? Blood is thicker than water, right? How are you doing with forgiving? Are you right up there with the Lord who hung on the cross for your sins and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? They all rejected him. They all yelled, "Crucify him." And what was it that he did? Only good. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. He healed the sick. How can you not love that individual? How can you not love the Lord Jesus, who did nothing but love sinners? And yet, people do hate him because he is contrary to their selfishness. The me syndrome, the I, is all important. He gets in the way of that, doesn't he? He got in the way of the Pharisees because of their self-righteousness and their self-importance. They knew the law, but they didn't believe. They did all the right things, but not out of a heart of faith, but one of self-righteousness. It was easy for them not to be forgiving, to turn to a sinful woman who committed adultery or prostitution and say to her, "Your sins are forgiven you," and explain to her how that's possible, because it was possible even before Jesus came, because God set it up so they too could be forgiven, so that all those who were considered outside the kingdom of God, among their own people, he had set up a system, a means of grace to bring about forgiveness through the sacrificial acts that were carried out each year. How are you doing with your forgiveness? Are you up there with St. Stephen, who while being stoned to death also prayed that God would forgive those people there that were doing this to him? How are you doing with forgiveness? Jesus tells us a story because, you know, after all, Peter, he sounded like he was being generous. How many times should we forgive somebody wrong? Seven times? Right? That's a good number, you know. It's better than three, right? You know, after I've gone three times, it starts stretching that forgiveness out a bit, you know. Come on, Lord. Seven times, that's a perfect number, seven. It's a holy number, right? Seven. God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Seven times, Lord? That sounds right. That sounds good. Good answer, Peter. No, seven times 70. And then he tells this parable. And we've heard the parable of the unjust servant, the unforgiving servant, the one who owed a great debt to his master. Master, this is what the kingdom of heaven may be compared to, Jesus says. And that's the important part of any parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king, we could say God, who wanted to settle accounts with the servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And he says to the man, you need to pay up, because if you don't, you're going to prison. You and your family and all your goods will be sold, and you will spend the rest of your life in prison working to pay off this debt. Talents, huh? Talents. Do you know how much one talent is worth? I'll tell you, because I can't think actually what the number would be for 10,000 talents. Well, I could, but then I have to do math. One talent is like $1,600,000. One talent. And this man says, give me time, Lord, and I'll pay it off. Sure you will. Sure. But he pleads for mercy, and the master has mercy and forgives him that debt. Can you imagine? And that's what God wants the disciples to do. Imagine, if you will. The question is obvious. There's no way. There is no way, because one can't even live a lifetime long enough to pay off that kind of debt, especially in that time. And if you were probably to put it to what American dollars are and that, you might not even find anybody or a country that has that much money. But nevertheless, there it is. The master of the house forgives this great debt. And what we're told, this servant goes out and finds another servant who owes him. He owes him, and he grabs him by the collar, and he says, pay me, or not the collar, actually, he chokes him. He chokes him. He physically harms this man and is vile towards him. And he says, I want you to pay your debt. How many denarii? I lost it. I lost my train of thought. Yeah, I know that. How many denarii? 100 denarii. 100. That would be equivalent to $45. Just about. The man says, give me time. I'll pay it. Well, he probably could at some point. Give me time. But this man doesn't even do that, and he has him thrown into prison. this man who was forgiven so much has failed to learn mercy. He has failed to learn mercy and to have mercy. And so he winds up being taken before the master again. Now it is judgment for what he has done. For what he has done is not owing the master anything, but not having a heart that overflows with mercy. I forgave you a debt you could never, ever repay. And could you not have forgiven your fellow servant? Bam. The man goes to prison. The parable is clear what Jesus' point is. He's already told the disciples he's going to the cross to die and take upon himself the sins of the world. His death will be the perfect sacrifice, that once and for all sacrifice, never needed to be repeated again. And 3 days later be raised to life. He has already told them that this is salvation. Maybe not as in clear a words as we can see looking back on the matter. But they were young. They were still with Jesus only 3 years, and now it is getting closer to Jesus' time to die. They're learning from him. Understand, they are learning and they're wanting to grow in their faith. They're wanting to grow in their understanding of the will of God. And so they ask with a sincere heart. Peter wants to know, and he thinks, that is a good number, 7, right, Lord? But Jesus always wants us to go further than what is a good number. If you're pressed into service to go a mile, go another. You know the story, what Jesus said in the sermon about all that. You are to go that extra mile. Go further than is necessary. When it comes to forgiveness, never withhold that forgiveness to one who is truly repentant. After all, Jesus has given Peter the office of the keys and the other disciples not that long ago from this point here. Remember the confession that Peter makes? And Jesus says that on this rock the church will stand, and whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven, and whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Jesus means for us to forgive to those who are truly repentant. But we also need to forgive those in our hearts at least, not to hold their sin against them in our own hearts and carry out a hateful feeling towards others. Because though they may not be repentant towards something that someone has done to us, yet we are to yet love them as Christ loved us. And if we carry a grudge, if we hate them for what they did and being unrepentant, then how can we love them? We seek their salvation. We seek their desire to say, I have sinned against you, forgive me, just like Joseph gave his brothers time, though his brothers yet would not come to him, even though Joseph had long ago forgiven them. We remember the story, right? There's a famine in the world, and Joseph is now the right-hand man of the king of Egypt. And because God has shown him about the famine, they built towers. They were the source to go for food. And eventually, his father and his brothers had to come to Egypt. Of course, his father thought he was dead. And his brothers come and they entreat this young ruler, this man whom they should know as their brother, but do not. They don't remember him. Besides, they figure he's probably a slave somewhere. He's not in this position. And he takes care of them, but he never reveals who he is. And then they leave, and he puts some silver and other things into their stuff. And they go off with all this nice treasure. And then Joseph sends people after them because they have taken this stuff. It's a fascinating story. You know the story. You've heard this story. How Joseph reveals himself, how Joseph forgives his brothers because he loves them. And he knows that what they have done, they intended for evil. Yet he says to them, God intended it for good. He took what you intended for evil and made it something good. So that many lives could be saved. Isn't that the story of our Lord too? The people in his day, they meant it for evil. They wanted to shut him up. They wanted him dead, and so they crucified him. That's what they wanted, because he wouldn't do it on his own. That troublemaker, that rabble-raiser. They meant it for evil. But God meant it, took that evil, and made it good for the world. We are forgiven through the blood of Christ. A debt we could never repay to God was paid by God through his Son. And because of that, we have life and we have hope and we have love that issues from us because it is the love of God that has been poured into our hearts. We are redeemed. We are cleansed. We are made righteous before God. He has taken our rags and given us garments that are shining in the heavens. And Jesus says, love others and forgive others. Yeah, you may think this was just too many times this person did this to you. Or you may think, I can't believe what this country is doing to our country. I don't want to point fingers at any particular country because, well, there are plenty that don't like us. But we still help them, don't we? We still reach out to them. And why do we do that? Well, there are some people who don't know Christ and they don't know the real answer, but we do. It's because for the most part, we are a Christian people in this nation. And reaching out to those who are in need is part of who we are as children of God. Whether they like us or not, they're going to get help from us. Because that's who we are. And we hope along the way, and we pray along the way, that their hearts will be changed. And that in times we will have opportunity to share with them the love of the true God, who is one and indivisible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To share with them the life and light of the world and their own life as well. We do these things because we have learned mercy. We do forgive, and we struggle sometimes to forgive, and sometimes it's hard to do. But then we are to pray that God would give us that ability to forgive and to remember how he has forgiven us. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Almighty God, as once you kept Joseph from evil and brought good from his suffering in Egypt, deliver us by your grace so that we may learn patience in trials. Teach us to be slow to judge, quick to forgive, and steadfast in love for you and for one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you have shown great compassion to us. Teach us to show compassion to others, that we may welcome the stranger, love our neighbor in need, and be attentive to those new to the faith or vulnerable to temptation. Help us to serve the refugees seeking safety, and give us opportunity to share your gifts with those who live in poverty and want. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious God, bless those who preach and teach your word, and give the hearers willing ears to hear and willing hearts to learn the scriptures well. Bless those now training to be pastors and church workers. Grant to all the baptized the aid of your Holy Spirit so that receiving your God Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Mighty God, give wisdom and courage to our elected and appointed leaders, that they may pursue justice, seek peace, and protect life from its natural beginning to its natural end. Bring an end to the threats of terror and violence among the peoples, and open all nations to the voice of your word. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Father, you know our weakness of body and soul. Give to the troubled in mind your peace, to the suffering relief, to the sick healing, to the grieving comfort, and deliver the dying into everlasting life. Hear us especially for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galavias, Jan Johnson, Linda and Leroy Fangmeyer, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Sue Daniels, Jeff McIntyre, and Pat Bias, and also for those whom we now name from our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, giving Lord, all good things come from you. Open our hearts to be generous with the poor and to bring you the tithes and offerings you are due. That your church and all her agencies may serve your gracious purpose and suffer no lack of people or resources to do the work of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and everlasting God, deliver us from temptation and the powers of evil, that we may be faithful unto death and receive from your hand the crown of everlasting life. Whether we live or die, we belong to you. And we pray you to comfort us with this promise, that we may join the company of the saints on the day you have appointed and enter into heavenly places to worship at your throne on high, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Conditioners, deodorants, baby wipes, there's a whole list of things if anybody's interested. sure that the peril or any weapons we've had to stop for you if you want to send something that day. So that's an opportunity. We need to RSVP to that zone, to that society, let them know how many of them are coming. So tell one of us if you know. I think that's it.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, I know. We're going to celebrate. Thank you, Pastor. LWML Sunday on October 4th. So, LWML as well. Never mind.
We're purple that day.
Yeah, we're purple that day. It's somebody to hit you.